So Jesus is teaching the people of his time and our people and us how important it is to have virtue within us and to be focusing more on the internal life, our interior life, rather than so much the exterior things like the Pharisees. They're caught up in the exterior things because that's where they were. They were on the surface. They were superficial. And that's all they cared about because they wanted to do whatever they wanted to do. They wanted to, you know, they have their own power and pleasure and what they wanted. So they just lived on the surface and they lived this sort of exterior life doing these exterior things, and they thought that was sufficient, washing cups and kettles and doing these, you know, these easy things. You know, the exterior things are the easy things, and you know, we can make signs of the cross, genuflect, we can come to religious services and do these exterior things, go to pilgrimages, go to apparition sites, do all these exterior things and not change our life and not become better people, not become more virtuous, not even maybe even please God if we are just on the surface, just superficial. So our Lord is telling us we need to mainly focus on the interior life. You know, if we don't, then we will gather all kinds of vice inside of us and then spill it all out in a life of exterior vice. And so the interior life, cultivating that, and we do that, of course, with reflection, meditation, prayer, thinking about holy things, and meditating and planning to, you know, to serve God and please Him, to do His will. And this requires interior life, which means like sinking our roots, you know, going deep within the virtues, you know, especially there's nothing more deeper than love. We need to cultivate love, the deepest thing that really establishes a strong character, a strong virtuous life, a strong life that pleases God. We need to focus on that and all the other values. You know, I remember when I was younger, I used to read some self-help books, and some of them focus on a little bit of psychology, and sometimes they recommend, you know, doing this value analysis of your life, and they'd have a list of different values you have. You can put God there, health, love, family. You know, you can put virtues, forgiveness, humility, you know. What is most important to you? Material things, your cars, you know, your clothing. What is most important to you? So you can figure out what kind of character you have, what kind of values you have. And of course, these writers were not very religious, and so they would say, you know, you can make your values whatever you want them to be. And of course, our values drive our life. They drive what we do. They drive what kind of person we are and the things we think about and what we do. So values are extremely important as far as what kind of person we are. But they were saying, you can make your values whatever you want them to be, because values are all relative, whatever kind of life you want to live. And of course, you know, me reading this, I was religious at the time too, and I knew that values have to be aligned according to God's values, Jesus' values, the values of Christian living. But I remember checking off the values that I had according to the list that they have. And I remember, you know, putting God first and, you know, different virtues and putting, you know, material things down as low as I can get them. And, you know, and I remember love being on that list, and I had it pretty low. I had it maybe down to 10 or something on a list of maybe 10, 20 different values or things that were important. And that really enlightened me on what things were important to me. I knew that was wrong. I knew love had to be closer to the top, you know, even equivalent with God, who is love. And so I put it there. I said, you know, this is what I'm going to make it, and make that value what it should be, and then try to adjust my life according to that. You know, it's a sort of good exercise you can do, you know, make your own list and jot down and sort of hierarchize what values are important to you and see what kind of person you are. And what direction you're headed to, what things you need to correct and improve and head down a better path. according to the values of our Lord, and this can change your life. And so I did that, and it took a while it took years actually to bring love up to where it should be, the love that can really transform your life and make you a saint, and make you really strong, you know, strength to be able to withstand the changes of the world, and you know. We don't want to be superficial. We don't want to be always changing and always a changeable person. We want to be someone who God can rely on and her brothers and sisters can rely on. It's commitment, you know. Love helps you to be committed. And, you know, when we are deep people, deep in prayer, deep in our love for God, deep in charity, deep in the values of the Christian life, we will be reliable, we will be unchangeable, we will be strong and firm, you know, in the midst of the changes of the world and the crises that can come our way. And that means we have to cultivate a Christian life. You know, I'm reading recently the life of Cardinal Newman, John Henry Cardinal Newman, and he was an Anglican, and he was a high Anglican, and he took religious life serious. You know, even as an Anglican, he was living an ascetic life. He knew the value of prayer and faith in God, and he had a strong faith, and he was earnestly seeking the truth and things that are most important, even as an Anglican. And the Anglican Church during his life, during the 19th century, was really deteriorating, and it's even gone. It's even, you know, almost non-existent today as far as fervence, and except for perhaps the high Anglican Church today. But he actually was perhaps considered the founder of or renewing the high Anglican Church, which was this near Catholic faith and Catholic values and teachings. So he really resurrected the Catholic values, even though he didn't embrace Catholicism. He thought it was in heresy. But he cultivated these values through this interior life. He would go on, you know, Lent, and he would go and fast and be by himself and go on a retreat for 40 days and spend time by himself. And he would be picked fun at by the newspapers and by his intellectual colleagues, and who really didn't like his Catholic leanings and the popery they called him infected with. And so he kept, you know, this interior life. He kept praying, kept really cultivating his interior life, and it became very ascetical, and very prayerful, and very holy, even as an Anglican. And of course, God took that and led him to the fullness of the truth in the Catholic faith. And he was pushed that way by his Anglican co-parts. And the bishops there who attacked him and persecuted him to the point where he realized that the Anglican Church was in schism. And he eventually became a Catholic and became really a warrior to fight for the Catholic faith. And he was attacked in such an enormous way, and just you know, flooded with persecution. And he withstood it all because of his strong interior life of prayer and love for God, and a life of prayer and wanting to, you know, spend time alone in prayer and being by himself and writing. And he wrote all kinds of things which were inspired, really inspired by God in many ways. And he became a real light to the church, and his writings are really delved into today, and becoming more and more aware of the depth of wisdom in his writings. And we just published a book recently called the Scotus Newman Reader. I haven't really read it yet, but and he's really a deep thinker, and really a light to our modern times because of his interior life, because of he cultivated this interior life, and he was very, very strong, and he had to be to withstand all the persecution that he went through for most of his life. The whole nation, the whole English nation attacked him. And he withstood it all with the strength of his Catholic faith and love for God, and he just built up the Catholic Church almost single-handedly. He was the one pioneer of the English nation, and from there it's grown stronger and stronger, the Catholic faith there. A man of character, a man of depth, a man of prayer, an interior life that he cultivated. He was strong in character. And this is what we need as Catholics. You and me, we need to be strong, as many of you are MIM members. You know, we're here to cultivate our interior life. We're here to practice our Catholic faith from the depths, to become strong lovers of God and to go out and lead others to the truth, to the faith. And we need to be deep in love, and love for God, love for our neighbor, but also love for the truth, love for the church. And this is what will sustain us and make us faithful in the midst of this perverse and broken and unfaithful generation, where divorce is rampant, where people are leaving religious life, people are leaving the MIM order, people are leaving things as this commitments are gone because we're not strong enough. We're not deep enough in the faith, not deep enough in our love for Our Lady and love for God and love for the truth and the church. And we must center ourselves on these rock-solid, unchangeable things of the Church, the Magisterium, the Holy Father, Our Lady, a life of prayer, an interior life, and all the Church's teachings. This is what will make us strong and faithful to the end. We need the sort of strong character. And just one final image of this kind of strength of character is thinking of working on the bell tower. We work with a mason who's not a very religious man, and yet he's got a very strong character of goodness in him. He's strong, very charitable, and he'll do different things. He's become one of our big benefactors for providing for vegetables and different things that he makes. And he makes these pickles, hot pickles and sort of sweet pickles. And he makes them for all of his friends, and he brings them by the friary. And it takes him time and money to make these things. And I just found out recently he doesn't even like them. He makes them and passes them around to his friends. He has two gardens, crops that he grows, and he gives away almost all of them. And this is his life of just generosity. He's not attached to material things. He just gives. And not only that, but in the tower, working the high heights, working with heavy things, heavy equipment, dangerous things, and he takes the most dangerous things. Just him and the friars, and he'll do the dangerous things. And we're doing things sometimes that are life-threatening, and he'll always be there. He'll always be the one to do the more dangerous things. And he's told us stories of other jobs that he's been on, and where scaffolding's about to collapse, and he'll grab onto the scaffolding and hold it while the person underneath the scaffold can get out, and then he'll let go, and even put his life on the line. And I've seen him do many things that are actually where I could see that he would die for someone else. This is the kind of character he has, even though he's not a religious man. And I think maybe God brought him here for us to help him in the spiritual life. But it's just an example of strong character, because he does have a faith, and he does have principles. His brother's a minister, Protestant minister, and he lives across the street from a church. And one of his sons died through suicide, and and he'll go and mow the lawn of the cemetery and of the church, and he'll do all these kinds of charitable things, without a strong faith. But it's a natural charity mixed with some supernatural charity, and we pray that God will lead him to salvation and to greater virtue. And he's reading some religious Catholic books and watching Catholic TV sometimes. And so keep him in your prayers. But just an example of the kind of strength of character we can have with the love for God and love for a neighbor that's stronger and stronger. It is love that we need to really sink our roots in deep, make it a strong value for you, if it's not, like it wasn't for me. Make it a stronger and stronger, stronger value, because with love we can do amazing things, amazing good, and withstand amazing persecution and evil of the day. day, you know, and do so much good and be led into the paths of truth, you know, the paths of truth, and not be led astray by the things that are happening in the world and the church today. Always staying on the straight and narrow with the church and with Jesus and the Eucharist, Our Lady, and a deep prayer life and asceticism, self-sacrifice and a life of mortification. These things will lead us in the paths of truth and keep us from error, keep us from falling away, and make us more and more holy.
Fructum ventris tuum.